Welcome back. And so we come today to God's Word. May we have open hearts, open minds, open ears to receive what He would say to us. Today's scripture comes from James, the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. I know we don't normally do this, but I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word if you so desire to do this. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you? Who are you to judge your neighbor? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we come to you, needy, dependent. We come to you knowing that you are more than able to ask what we, to give what we ask of you. We come to you knowing that you desire to communicate with us. So Lord, through your word now, speak in such a way that we may experience the work of your Holy Spirit, transforming us into the likeness of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we began the book of James, actually before we began studies in the book of James, the pastoral staff was praying, saying, Lord, where do you want us to go? And the book of James was selected specifically because we feel that we want to address some of the issues of our day, some of the topics that are facing our society and definitely facing our church today. We have challenges, and we've seen that challenge of faith and doubt in a time when the whole validity of religion in general and Christianity specifically, in the West at least, has been called into question. How does our faith and walk through times of doubt or trials and temptations? Again, something every generation faces, these trials being tests that God wants to transform us through, but temptations coming from the enemy, and how do we overcome those? We've talked about economic disparity, and many of these topics we'll repeat because James reiterates them throughout this letter to the church that he is addressing. The poor, the rich, do we treat people differently? Do we care about the things that God cares about? Or are we too concerned to just say, hey, yeah, I hope that things go well for you? We know that there is a call to action about being doers of the word, not hearers only. We have lots of idioms. Walk the talk. Practice what you preach. Actions speak louder than words. All of these things are reiterations of don't only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In other words, there is a faith that is not just internal, but is lived out in external expression. The sin of favoritism. We see this in many ways in society. The powerful, those with social capital or fame, people with status or money, tend to receive preferential treatment. And we see the word speaking against these kinds of things. Last week, we began to consider the power and danger of words, how we use our tongue, how it can get us into, oh, so much trouble. And there are multiple lessons in James where he addresses the issue of words and how we use them. Today, we come to another issue of how we use words. And so that's why we're not quite in the chronological flow of the text, but we've jumped ahead so that we can address another issue of the tongue or of how we use our words. And that issue is slander. The issue of slander. Generally, we know what this means in today's society. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary gives two definitions of slander. The first being the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. They give another similar definition, a false and defamatory oral statement about a person. And so we see in today's society, in our context, that this actually can result in libel, which is has legal meaning and can bring one into civil or criminal punishment if it's needed or seen as necessary. But in the text where it says, brothers, do not slander one another, it means to speak ill or evil of. And it's interesting that this original word doesn't require that the accusation is false. In today's society, there is an assumption that what we have said is false, and therefore we feel free to go ahead and make statements that are true, even though they may be harmful to another person. And so Scripture gives us a higher standard than the standard of society. This is normally the way of God, is it not? He calls us to a higher law, which we will be coming back to in just a moment. And what's more, it begins in verse 11 by saying, brothers, or brothers and sisters, or family, or church, if you will. He's addressing the community of the saints, the believers. That's you, that's me. That's those of us gathered as his people. He says, we as the people of God have a standard that is higher. We have a greater responsibility to shine as that city that is set upon a hill, to be an example of how to live, even when it's not easy to live that way. And so today's sermon title, Slander, the Choice of Incivility, was deliberately selected because I want us to really image in our minds the power of choice, the power of the will. Incivility is a choice. Slander is a choice. We choose the words we say. Speaking is willful, and speaking in this way is incivil. It is dishonoring to God and to the people who are around us. Definitely to those with whom we are in dialogue, because we are continuing to shape the image of another person in the eyes of a sister or brother. It seems that today, if you do not agree with me, you are treated as my enemy. Civil disagreement seems to be disappearing. We choose incivility. And God's call to us today is to move beyond that, to think about how we will choose the words we speak. The question here is not how do we talk to one another, so much as it is, how do we talk about one another? And so James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, it was part of last week's scripture. I want to reread this brief passage so that we all get the picture and the emphasis that God is bringing to how we use our words. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Can we see the contradiction that is being emphasized here for the Christian? Multiple times it repeated, brothers. So we as people of faith have a higher standard that we are called to live by. Last week, Pastor Soon mentioned quite a number of verses addressing how we use our words, how it can get us into hot water, and how dangerous and inflammatory words can be. I want to add one more text to that list. And I think that this would be a great scripture for us to memorize. And so I'm going to actually ask you to repeat after me. So I'm going to say part of the verse, and I want you to repeat it wherever you are. And it's from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And this isn't the first time you've heard me use this, but here's what it says. Repeat after me. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Let's do this one more time. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you get the emphatic nature of the power of words that God is communicating to us in this passage? We can speak life into the lives of others, or we can speak death into others. What will we choose? This is something that we each have to think about and ponder in our own heart. And if we're going to choose life, how can we do that? We'll come back to that towards the end of the sermon. So what is the origin of slander? Well, in fact, it is the heart. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus says this, "The good man brings good out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. As James has just indicated, can a salt spring produce fresh water? Can a grapevine produce figs? No, it cannot. It's a contradiction. It is what is inside of us, our essence, the fountain of life within us, that drives the words that we choose to speak, the things that we choose to say. Out of the overflow of the heart, again, as Jesus says, this makes me think that perhaps we cannot help but slander because that's what's in our heart. Generosity, mercy, forgiveness, enduring an injustice for the sake of another, that's not in our heart. Therefore, slander comes out. You see, the problem is the problem of the heart. I believe it was Warren Wiersbe who said, "The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart." And I think that we need to take this into reality, into our mind, when we start talking about how we will use our words. Slander is not an accident. We hear our own words and catch ourselves, right? And we say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that." The harsh reality is, yes, we did mean to say that. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is a scary concept, is it not? Because it makes us look inside and search for what is really there. And we ask the Spirit of God to show us, to reveal to us what is in our heart. Because without that heart transformation, we're not going to have the external transformation, but we will keep saying, "I didn't mean to say that." We see then that slander is a failure or absence of holiness. God is holy. There is no impurity in him. God's holiness is driven by his love. Treating others in a loving manner is the fruit of God's holiness. Just striving to obey the law is legalism. And the whole of the Old Testament demonstrates to us that we are lawbreakers. We can't do it out of legalism. It never worked. That's why there was the need for Christ to come, because we weren't able to do it. And so Jesus comes and gives a different way to approach the law. Living the law as a result of internal transformation through union with Christ is holiness. To overcome slander requires that we become more united to Christ, that his holiness may dwell in us. And then out of the abundance, when the heart speaks, it will speak in love, in mercy, in generosity, because that's who Jesus is. What then are the assumptions of slander? In a word, superiority. Slander assumes several things that need to be teased out. When I slander another, or accuse another, or speak evil of another, I assume that I am innocent. I assume that what I am saying about that other person, I am not guilty of. I do not do. And in that assumption comes a sense of superiority. I am better than that person, because I didn't do that. And so automatically, we think that we're okay. I think that's usually a dangerous assumption. In the Sermon on the Mount, the last chapter, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, don't judge one another. Why are you trying to take a splinter out of your brother's eye when there's a plank in your own eye? Noting the hypocrisy of judging, of slandering, according to today's text. Slander takes judgment into our own hands rather than leaving it in God's hands. Thus, one is setting themselves up above the law. As verse 12 said, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. We are sitting in judgment on the law when we slander, because we are setting our standard up as universal, rather than letting God, who is the judge of all, be God. And we start then to step into the role of God by so slandering and judging, according to today's text. Only God sees things completely. The speaking of evil against another comes from an internal problem, as we have already mentioned, one of the heart. Because we've set ourselves up as a judge over our brother or over our sister. This is what slander is defined as here in this text. It is equated with judging. And so when we start judging others, we are sitting in the place of God. We have said, like Satan, I will make myself like the Most High. All of these come together to bring harm to the slanderer, the slandered, and to the community. Therefore, we must find a way to overcome these things. Now, I do want to note here in verse 11, where it says, when you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. What is the law as being referred to by James here? It may be the Mosaic law. James was the leader of the Jerusalem, the Jewish church. And so the connections to the Torah, to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, were very strong. And it would be natural to assume that that is what he is referring to here. However, it is very clear from the entire book of James that this is not all that he was referring to. It wasn't solely what he was referring to. In chapter 2, verse 8, James is clearly referring to the law as Jesus summarized it. It says in chapter 2, verse 8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. And so when James is talking about the law, he had just mentioned how he's defining the law. He's defining it as Jesus summarized the whole of the Old Testament in saying, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. It is when we are living in love that we are actually living the law as God intended for us to do. It is, yes, the law of love. Slander is inconsistent. Speaking ill of our neighbor is inconsistent. Speaking evilly, making accusations toward our sisters, the church, the family of God, our brothers, is wrong in the sight of God. This is what this message is telling us. And we do this by sharing words. It leads not only to breaking the law, but to broken relationships to divisions. So what are we to do? How are we to grow out of slander, if you will, or outgrowing slander, we could also say. Today we find it easy in our society to speak evil of one another, and this seems particularly true in politics. With the election coming, people take a sharp position this way or that way. And we don't speak with civility and listen to one another, but our tongues have become sharp. Our messages have become absolute. A failure of civility, if you will. Gossip columns, lawsuits, everyone justifying the self for personal advantage or benefit to my cause, as opposed to genuinely hearing the other. So what can we do? This is the question that I want to address. How can we grow out of slander? First, we must remember that only God is the judge. He sets the standards. If we are setting them, that is presumption. God's standards are the only ones that we must live by. And so when I'm judging someone else, when I'm speaking evilly, badly about someone else, it's not just, is this true? It's, what is the message that I'm trying to send about that person? Can I leave them in God's hands? About that group, can I leave them in God's hands? Secondly, learn to be discerning. We don't practice discernment very well in the church today, in my opinion. I think that we jump to conclusions. We make associations. This person said this about that person. Now I know who you are based on what you said about that other person. We've jumped to conclusions without knowing the whole story. And so we need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, that we might practice genuine discernment. What's going on here? What are the underlying stories that we're not getting? We need to move beyond one's own opinion. By this I mean, what does the community of the faith teach about this traditionally? And you may find multiple valid opinions that the community of faith holds. We have different denominations, and we acknowledge one another as Christian, even though we have difference of opinion. And so we can embrace disagreement and maintain unity in reality if we learn the position of the other, of the community of faith, and of those with whom we are engaged in discourse. Next, choose civility in disagreement. May God give us soft tongues and wise words in our discussions. May He help us to keep our emotions in check, that we don't go off the rails and into rants and accusations. Choose civility. Practice the law of love. To this we are called. For this we have been born again, to love. Practice the law of love. Remember the golden rule. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How would you wish to be loved by others when they talk about you? Let's practice that law. Remember the power of the tongue. Remember that words have power to bring death and to bring life. And in that remembering the power of words, depend on the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that God gives to be able to walk in language that is going to be a blessing. Finally, deliberately develop a habit of the Philippians 4:8 filter. And you say, what is the Philippians 4:8 filter? I can hear you asking it to me right now. So I will answer it to you by putting Philippians 4:8 on the screen for all of you to see. It says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's the Philippians 4:8 filter that God challenges us to apply when it comes to choosing our words and how we will talk not only to one another, but how we will talk about one another.